embarrassment of the attacks and ridicule of his so-called friends, we come to the end of the book of Job, where God finally talks to Job, trying to get through to Job. And verse 1 of chapter 42, we're going to pick up. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, 'Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?' Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, 'I will question you, and you shall answer me.' I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is roused against you, and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls, 7 rams, go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, and Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. Verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each one a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, called the name of the first, Jemiah, the name of the second, Keziah, the name of the third, Karen Hepuk. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. Yes, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word and for your grace and your love and your mercy. We ask that you pour out your spirit upon us, Lord, that we would receive what you have for us. We look to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Job comes to an acknowledgement, finally. When God came to Job, spoke to him out of a whirlwind, he told him, prepare yourself like a man. I'm going to question you. You answer me. Job didn't, who is he who darkens counsel, he said. Job didn't say anything. He, pleaded the fifth. Now, he's ready to talk. He's ready to confess. And as he does, brings light and meaning and purpose, understanding to the whole testing of the book of Job and some of the whys of life for us, things we go through, God's intent, purpose behind it. Job acknowledges God in his confession. In verse 2, he says, "I know you can do everything. No purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You can do anything, God. You're almighty. You're all powerful. You can change, do anything you want. You can do everything." He comes to his sense of understanding of who God is in his confession. He recognizes God's power, all-powerful, omnipotent. He recognizes God's knowledge. In the King James Version, instead of no purpose of yours can be withheld from you, the Bible tells us in the King James, no thought can be hidden from you. You know everything. You're all powerful. You can do everything. And you know everything, Lord. You see everything. You know every detail about me. You know my thoughts before I think them. All-knowing. In Hebrews, the Bible tells us, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all things are open and naked to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. He sees all, knows all. He can do anything. Job's now confessing who God is. Following, you know, the Lord's presentation. Job, when I created the earth, were you there? Last week, I was talking about how I was sharing God's questions and with the wrong tone, you know, maybe with a little anger. He's not angry. I was kind of in my mind, I'm thinking like Clint Eastwood, you know. Hey, Job, can you do that? But in truth, he's not angry at Job. He's in love with Job. But the Bible tells us that Job comes to his senses and confesses. He makes an acknowledgement. And in his acknowledgement, he says, Lord, you can do everything, and you know everything, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. God's purpose in the life of Job was to bring Job to this very place of understanding, as God's purpose in our life is to bring us, to align us into a comprehension and acknowledgement and recognition of who God is in our life and truth. Lord, you can do anything, and you know everything. There's an accountability to that reality and realization before God of who we are and who he is. Job confesses who God is. He also comes into an acknowledgement and confession of who he himself is. In verse 3, chapter 42, he repeats that question. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful me which I did not know. He repeats the question God asked him when he first came to him, when he spoke to him out of the whirlwind. He said, who is he that darkens counsel without knowledge? When Job was pleading the fifth back then, but now he's saying, hey, it's me. I'm the one. He, you know, bringing understanding to that statement, the different versions of the Bible, the CEV, why do I talk so much and know so little? New Living Translation, question my wisdom with such ignorance. Beck's translation, who am I but one who obscures your purpose without understanding? Who is he who darkens counsel without understanding? See, Job confesses his weakness. He becomes aware of his weakness. What I've been doing wrong, what I'm guilty of. He comes into the awareness and he confesses who God is and who he is. And in his confession of who he is, he's coming into agreement with what God's purpose is for his life. See, it was no purpose can be withheld from you. God's trying to communicate to us. And so often in about us, some things he's trying to put his finger on. Job finally confesses up. You know, you remember back when Nathan came to David, and David, you know, he said, Nathan, or David, there's a man in your kingdom. You know, he took this pet sheep. He was rich, and he took it, cooked it for dinner. David got angry. Who is that man? Nathan said, you're the man, David. You're busted. God has appointed me to tell you, you're wrong. You're busted. And now this is the same thing that's happening with Job, saying, hey, I'm the man. I'm wrong. I'm the wrong that I'm wrong of, you know, speaking things I did not understand, speaking things of without understanding, without knowledge, talking about things I know so little. I'm guilty. I'm wrong. Speaking about you, Lord, without understanding, passing judgment, speaking too quickly. You know, that's the root of all complaining, you know that? Not having understanding or the proper knowledge of what God's doing. I don't like the way things are going. But I start to complain and moan and murmur. When God's plan for Job was always good and right. And with us, God's plan and purpose for us is for our well-being and benefit. Job saying, hey, I'm wrong. I'm guilty. He makes confession at the end of verse 3. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Open my big mouth. I spoke of things I didn't realize. I complained about you, Lord. You know, the confession he's agreeing to, you know, God, through the book of Job, is testing Job. God tests us. He's not punishing Job. He's testing him. Testing him to bring forth something into Job's understanding and realization of God and of himself. You know, Job is passing the test. Come to the end of the book of Job. All right, Lord, you're everything. You can do anything. I'm the one that's wrong. The reason I've been complaining, it's my fault. The reason I don't see things out of order, or I see things twisted, or misconceiving things, it's my misunderstanding. Based on my wrong, the testing brought out the truth. God wanted an answer from Job. He began when he started talking to him. Hey, Job, prepare yourself like a man. I'm going to question you. You answer me. He desires an answer. I looked up answer in the Webster Dictionary. And number one, you know, definition is reply. But act in response. He wants a response. One, the number seventh reason in the Webster Dictionary, at least mine, is conform. And correspond. God's desiring an answer from all of us. He's dealing with us. He brings us through things. He desires that we answer him. You know, what's your answer? What's my answer? Job took him a while, a long time of suffering and affliction. God wasn't mad at him. God was pruning him. He, in verse 5, the Bible tells us, you know, he had a revelation. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Coming to the place God's desiring to bring him and us is a deeper understanding of him. Now I see you, Lord. I used to hear you, hear about you. You know, it could be hearsay. What others said about you. I base my ideas of who you are. You know, what my parents or my teachers or my pastor say about you, rather than, you know, a direct experience with you. He's saying, you know, I see now. I have a personal observation. I'm not getting it secondhand anymore. I get it. I'm getting it firsthand. I see you, Lord. I used to hear you, but now I see you, man. You're alive to me. You're real to me. He's directly connected, not based upon what others say. It makes a big difference, this revelation. It made a big difference in Job's life. It's really repentance. He changed. He said, you know, I'm sorry. The things I spoke, I misspoke. These things my mouth things that come out of my mouth. I'm sorry, Lord. Really, he's saying, you know, I darken counsel without knowledge, without understanding. I've uttered things so wonderful, too wonderful to me. They're way above me, and yet I'm here blabbing my mouth as if I know. He's saying, you know, in my mind, my knowledge, without knowledge, I'm guilty of, Lord, my mouth, my thoughts, and my actions, what I did. You know, Job was guilty of two sins. His pride, unwilling to, you know, come to this understanding. You know, it's not that he wasn't unwilling. I hate to say anything bad about Job. He was such a good man. And yet, he had pride, and we all have pride. God's looking at Job, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Hey man, he's my prize. Yeah, he's a blameless and upright man who shuns evil. He's such a good son. I love him. Then he goes through this pruning process. And Job comes to the understanding at the end. Oh, I am so sorry, Lord, for what I said about you. I'm wrong. The thoughts I've been harboring and thinking and turning over in my mind, they're wrong. They're without knowledge, without understanding. I'm wrong, Lord. In my actions, my presumption. Presumption is, you know, making an assumption, taking something for granted, based upon what I think, doing something. I'm wrong. My actions. It comes into repentance. In verse 5, he says, you know, I have heard of you by the hearing. And then in verse 6, therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He starts to see himself. When you see God for who he is, we see ourselves for who we are. Seeing God, we see ourselves. And he does. That's what happened to Peter. Oh, depart from me, Lord. You know, or Isaiah, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. John, in the book of Revelation, fell on his face. You know, the truth is, in seeing him, we see ourselves. Job, I abhor myself in dust and ashes. He really gives us a picture of repentance. And in the repentance, there's a reversal of his attitude. You know, the Greek word for repentance, metanoia, is a change of thought that leads to a change of behavior. God's calling all of us to repent. Change our thought about him. Change our behavior, our direction from against him to going toward him, for him, following him. He has a reversal of his attitude. He's no longer standing in his pride, you know, in his discourses, in his dialogue, him saying, hey, I claim my innocence. If I only had someone, I'd take my case all the way to God and I'd tell him we'd straighten this out. No longer standing on his innocence or his self-righteousness. But look at the tone in verse 4. Listen, please, let me speak. He's got a different tone now, a different attitude, different heart towards God. God's got through to him. He's not in pride anymore. He's humbled. And his presumption, he's not misdirecting his actions based upon an assumption. He's no longer making demands of God, you know, nor pleading the fifth. He's confessing. He's openly, you know, the Bible tells us in the book of John that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That word confess means to acknowledge and come in agreement with. You see, now Job is coming in agreement with God. I'm wrong. The things I've been saying, the things I've been thinking, the things I've been doing. If there's some kind of disgruntled, grumbling attitude or any kind of harboring attitude in me about you, Lord, I'm wrong. That's just the truth. We're wrong if we harbor an attitude against him. God brings the truth out. He's no longer making demands. He's humbled. He's saying, please, He repeats the question. See, that's what God asked him. Now, Job, prepare yourself like a man. I'm going to question you and you answer me. Now he's saying, he's repeating the question. He's ready to give the answer. Please accept my answer. He's humbled. Prepare yourself like a man and I will question you. You shall answer me. Turn to, in Psalm 51, you know, the Bible tells us that a broken and a contrite heart are the sacrifices that God accepts. He's broken. Job is broken. You know, you think about a nervous breakdown or a mental breakdown. Job is having a good breakdown. He's having a spiritual breakdown. Jesus said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs are is the kingdom of heaven. He's broken. He's contrite. He's repenting. There's different levels of repentance. God was pleased with Job. Again, you know, have you considered my servant Job? Upright, blameless man. Man who shuns evil, does what's right. Pruning him. Pruning one of his prized creatures. But his three friends, he's got a different attitude towards. God does. In verse 7 it says, and so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, in verse 7, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, my wrath is aroused against you. God was angry at Job's three friends. They're in a different position than Job was before God. God's wrath was against them. God's wrath wasn't against Job. But he was angry at Job's three friends. He told them what they had to repent too. And how to repent. They needed to make sacrifice. They needed to shed blood. They had to go to the altar. In verse 7, it says, you know, verse 8, now therefore take for yourselves seven bulls, seven rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. They needed to sacrifice, and Job had to pray and intercede for them. Humbling. But different levels and positions and places of repentance. The Bible tells us at the conclusion of this chapter, the book of Job, that there was a restoration. In verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. When he prayed for his friends. Interesting. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. The Bible tells us that he got his family back, twice as much possessions, and his herds twice as much. His years that he lived 70 years when the affliction came upon him, 140 more years he lived. The Bible says that he was full of days, old and full of days. He knew his children and children's children to the fourth generation. Satisfied, blessed, restored. There was a reversal of something that took place in his heart, in his life. It's almost like, you know, what was blocking the blessings was his disagreement with God. He had to come into an agreement with God. And he did that through his confession. As God's calling us, you know, to come into agreement with Him in our confession, what we've been doing wrong, in truth, in our words, and having a critical attitude. He was against the three, he was angry at the three friends, so-called friends, because of how they criticized Job. That's something he doesn't like, critical, criticizing, slander. Thoughts, having bad thoughts, bad attitude, bad heart, complaining, grumbling. The need for repentance. The Bible tells us that he had three daughters, Jemiah, Keziah, and Karen Hepuk. Their names, the meaning of their names really kind of give definition to Job's life. Jeremiah, it speaks of light. Oh, God brought light back. Keziah, a sweet fragrance. Oh, it smells good again. Life. Karen Heppuck, the beauty of her. It speaks of the beauty on her face. You know, life is beautiful again. The restoration back with God. I hear him. I see him. He's blessing. He's flowing. God's intended purpose for us is that we come into agreement with him, that we would flow, that we deal with the blockages. He's putting his finger on something, and he always is. Not always. But he desires for us to grow. And I had a bush in the backyard, a snowball flower. And we moved in, and 3 years I didn't touch it. And it was like really weird how it was growing. We had one branch that was like sticking way out, like 15 feet, had a flower on it. And it had this like weird like tentacles growth pattern to it. So a couple years ago, I just like gave it a crew cut. Roseanne said, "Man, why you cut it so small?" I said, "It's going to fill in. It's going to look nice." And that's it is now, today, man. It looks full, you know, in proportion. And God has to give us a crew cut sometimes. But he's dealing with us. And, you know, it's so wonderful to submit to him. You know, from, you know, standing in my own self-righteousness to coming into a place of submission is what he wants from us. The truth in our heart, what he's dealing with, an acknowledgement, a confession. So I, you know, entitled the message this morning, you know, what's my answer to God? You know, what's your answer? He said to Job, you know, prepare yourself like a man. I'll question you. You answer me. And he calls us into a response or for an answer. And it's a perfect timing to finish the book of Job as we, the first Sunday of the month, you know, to take part in communion. A perfect, ideal timing of the Lord for us to be honest with him, be open to him. And I'm just going to...